there's going to be a war. Ezekiel 38 is going to be the next thing down the line. Then a time of peace. Then maybe the end. But nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He said the angels don't know it. And only the Father knows it. So I'm not saying this is the second coming, but I am saying there are things that people have thought would be during a millennial time with the coming of Jesus that are going to happen in our lifetime. And the next thing is the election that's coming up in just a few weeks, at which time, according to what I believe the Lord told me, the president is going to be reelected. I'm saying by all means, get out and vote. Vote for whoever you want to vote for, but by all means, let your voice be heard. But it's going to lead to civil unrest of great proportion, then a war against Israel, and so forth and so on.
We got a lot to catch up on, lots to talk about here. If I could say the words, this would be so much more efficient. I'm going to talk to you about alien news, the haunting of Bly Manor, Elon Musk, 4G on the moon, on that fake moon that we never went to. Miley Cyrus is talking to the aliens along with Demi Lovato. And the great Nick Cage splashed the occult radar. Lots of fun stuff. And all this in the midst of my research for my mega three-part show on Raised by Wolves that will be coming very, very soon. I am almost done. I spent way more time than I should have. It's not half of you probably didn't even watch the damn show. Because it's on HBO Max, right? So go steal your whoever's friend's password for Xfinity or whatever. Get your HBO Max. Watch the show. It's going to be boring. You're going to get a few hours in and you're going to say, boy, is this lame. But you got to get to episode 10. The last episode of the season makes the previous 9 worth it. I hope. I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. That's my opinion. It's good, not great. But we'll talk about that for 3 hours in the future. So anyway, today is not what we're about, though. Today, we're going to catch up on all these things. Pat Robertson talking about the apocalypse and Trump. Now, The Haunting of Bly Manor, that's a show about ghosts, loosely. It's kind of about ghosts on Netflix. It was based on a previous work. And don't ask me, I've never read the book. I think it's called Turn of the Screw. They did a movie on it, I guess, in the past. I don't really know. I didn't care enough to dig into it that deep. But on the Instagram, I was talking about it, and I said, and I think I posted an image on the social media there of some butterflies in episode 1. And I said, oh, there's going to be some MK Ultra dissociative identity disorder moments in here. And that didn't quite happen. And everyone's like, oh, I want to hear your take on it. I want to hear your take. So I don't have a take on it, really. It turned out that wasn't really true. But what I did tell you, if you follow me on the socials, is that I would drop my info on the show on the email, right? I have an email newsletter. I don't know if you know this. It's on IlluminatiWatcher.com/start. Some people have problems getting their email punched in. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe you got the wrong browser. But if you sign up, I am committing to sharing more of my thoughts with you through the email, because I realize some of you don't care about social media. I don't blame you. I hate it too. But there's many times that I think of you and I want to send you a message. So this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send you a few messages a week. And if you don't like it, all you got to do is unsubscribe. I own the email newsletter, 11,000 almost members, subscribers. You too should join that list. And I used to just send updates to like, hey, here's a new show I'm on, here's a new post. But, you know, nothing set it apart from the other places where you follow me. So kind of like how I use Instagram to do Instagram lives to talk to you. I use Twitter to sort of bounce jokes and send links. I'm going to use this email list to share small thoughts, ideas as they hit me. And I plan on, you know, doing that a few times a week at least. and I own that operation. I don't sell. I'm not going to sell it to anyone else. I'm going to blow up your inbox like Old Navy or whoever. You know what I'm saying? So sign up. Look forward to getting more emails, more thoughts, more examples of the occult symbolism hidden in the entertainment. To go with all the other offerings I provide on the various social medias. Pick your poison, right? So, because the longer you wait, the more the emails you're going to miss out on. It's free. What do you got to lose? What have you got to lose, right? Okay. Pat Robertson. Who's that guy? He's basically an old crusty televangelist on like the 700 Club. He said that just recently that without question, Donald Trump will be reelected. And, oh, by the way, this would trigger the end times. Now, this guy doesn't know shit, right? He's a televangelist. He's part of that sort of charismatic movement. And for what it's worth, he also said that Mitt Romney was going to win when he was running against Obama, and that didn't happen. But, you know, he's like a conservative guy, clearly, right? But he's a, you know, Southern Baptist, evangelical. I'm going to assume he's a crook. I know, it's terrible, right? And what do I know? I don't know. I know he's just said some controversial stuff in the past. He blamed September 11th on the Lesbos. Blamed Hurricane Katrina on the right to abortion. You know, it's very conservative. So, like, I know, you know, and look, I know. Half of you is out there listening or probably love the guy, and that's fine. I know your nipples get all hard when I start talking about Trump and Pat Robertson. And that's okay. You know what? They all have their good things, I'm sure. But yeah, he basically has been publicly saying Trump's going to win and we're all going to die. Well, maybe not all of us. I assume he thinks the end times is good for the Christians. But here's the thing. And I don't even talk about it anymore because I don't really know much about the guy. But here's the thing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. That's very clear. In the Orthodox religion, that's what they tell us. Nobody knows. I think it says it right there in the Bible. So, there you have it. But yeah, he says the apocalypse is coming. And if you heard my most recent show with Johnny, we talked about the end times too. A lot of people are saying this is going to happen. That the Antichrist is coming. Who's the Antichrist? Oh my goodness. I don't know. Nobody knows. And for what it's worth, what started me on my conspiracy journey back in the 80s, if you can believe that, as a young boy growing up in PA with all the weird folk German, Germanic pagan background of the place that I lived in, I remember seeing pamphlets about the end times in the grocery stores. I remember reading that every social security number has three sixes or a combination of sixes and nines. Mine did. Mine does. I've got three sixes in mine. What about you? You know, but whatever. And that's what first, that's my very first memory of conspiracy love back then. Lou Elizondo. I'm crushing through this content. We're just going to move forward here, okay? Luis Elizondo, do you know who that is? That's the guy who was the director of the ATIP program, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program. That's the one that's in all the news because the UFO videos and the disclosure movement that it's all about. This guy was the program director, and he is also, you know, part of Tom DeLonge's To the Stars Academy, and he's been on all the shows on History Channel owned by Disney because Disney is here to perform disclosure on your brain. Well, if you read my book, Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1, which you surely did, and you probably bought it on Amazon, and you might have bought a signed paperback through Gumroad. At gumroad.com/IsaacW, you probably got that signed paperback. And in the book, you read my take on Luis Elizondo and the Collins Elite. And the idea that these guys pushing UAP disclosure are on team summoned demonic aliens. And they've been saying, like, look, the Collins Elite, they're on team demons are aliens and we should leave them alone. They're the pro-Christian, you know, fundamentalist religious weirdos. And they've been in the way the whole time. And now that the Collins elite's influence has decreased and diminished over the years, guess what? Now we're getting disclosure. Now we're talking about doing all this paranormal activity. Well, if I got an update for you on the Twitter, I'm going to read to you. I'm going to post the screenshot too. I'm going to post the screenshot and I'll put it on the Instagram and all that places. A person on here named Luis Darcy says, hi, Mr. Elizondo. After seeing Unidentified, the Phenomenon movie, which I talked about already, right? That might have been a Patreon bonus episode, actually. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I already talked about the Phenomenon. She says, after seeing Unidentified and Phenomenon and Tom DeLonge interviews, I would like to ask you if you could expand upon what you know about the negative aspects related to the, quote, others, and the implications of that for all of us. Thank you so much. And then old Louie, he responded in three parts. The third part's the only one that matters, but I'll read you the first two. Number one, Louise, I promised you an answer a few weeks ago and I haven't forgot. We'll be asked this again today, most likely, but I want to respond to you directly. The term negative aspects is something different for everybody. To some, it's a philosophical challenge to their existing, on to tweet two, belief system. While for others, it's the idea that we are not at the top of the proverbial food chain, technologically speaking. And for others, so-called experiencers, there are claimed physical, mental, and emotional consequences, not even considering the social implications. Part three. This is the most important one now. Pay attention. Organized institutions and organizations like religion and government. So when I say, quote, negative, it's a bit subjective because phenomenon means something different to each person. However, on the other side of the argument, there's hope, knowledge, and understanding. So what's he saying? What's he saying? Read between those lines. It's the Christians and the religious wackos getting in the way. And our idea of what's negative is subjective. See, evil's not so bad. The demons aren't so bad. Right? That's what he's saying. I mean, it's been black and white right there. He's been talking about it on the interviews. I don't know if you know that. He's been talking about how, oh, we've been wanting to pursue contact with these things and, you know, there's this religious fundamental group inside the Pentagon getting in the way and holding us back. And there you go. I mean, it's just, if you know what to look for, it's right there. But you got to know what to look for. And to know what to look for, you got to read my book. What else do we got? Jeez. And I was on Tinfoil Hat talking about the book too. Of course, we couldn't. You're not going to get everything from the book out of the show, but go check out Tinfoil Hat. My man Sam Tripoli, XG, Johnny, on the ones and twos there. That came out last Saturday, mid-October there. The moon, that big fake moon, it's getting 4G. Does that sound like a made-up headline from The Onion or Babylon Bee? Yes, it does, but it's true, apparently. They're saying Nokia is going to put 4G on the moon for $14 million. Does that make sense? Hell no, it doesn't make sense. They're going to put 4G satellite or cell phone towers, a full infrastructure, on the moon for $14 million. Does that make any sense? It makes no sense. And on top of that, they're going to have it by late 2022. In less than 2 years, Nokia is going to put rockets up in space with all this infrastructure to put 4G on the moon. And maybe I'm speaking ignorantly, like the technology is not full up cell phone towers. That could very well be it. But that's the plan. That's what they're saying now. The moon's getting 4G. And if you look at the article here, the press release, it says, we're going there for Artemis to set up a moon base by 2028. Did you know that? Did you know we're putting a moon base up there in the next 8 years? If you go to nasa.gov, you can read about it, and I'll read to you from it. It says, quote, With the Artemis program, NASA will land the first woman and next man on the moon by 2024, using innovative technology to explore more of the lunar surface than ever before. We will collaborate with our commercial and international partners and establish sustainable exploration by the end of the decade. Then we will use what we learn on and around the moon to take the next giant leap, sending astronauts to Mars. So that moon's heating up. Apparently, we're going past just putting man on the moon. We're going to put cell phones on the moon. Now, that'll be a very curious day, because if you read my book, the self-titled book called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, you read a section where I talked about how I don't believe we actually put man on the moon. I really don't. I have a very hard time believing that. And for all the reasons you can read about in the book. Then, King Alpha Nerd himself, Elon Musk, he tweeted on October 16th, "Doesn't seem to be any life in this solar system. Maybe under the ice of Europa or extremophile bacteria below the surface of Mars." So we got people weighing in on this stuff, right? Well, you know the celebs aren't far behind, right? Demi Lovato. She's been in contact with the aliens and Dr. Stephen Greer. And in fact, if you heard my show last week, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind Film Analysis, it's about Stephen Greer and his process to channel, meditate aliens into our world. He asserts that he can do this for the right price. If you're a loser like me and you can't afford to hang out with Stephen Greer out in the desert eating shroomies and channeling the aliens in, then you can buy an app for $10 and he'll teach you how to do it on the app. I bought the app. Did I do it? No. I'm terrified. I don't want aliens coming to my house. But part of me is very curious to see if it works. But I fear that, much like the spirit realm is full of spirits and demons, I fear that we don't have the power of discernment to determine which one is which. And I'm not just going to give an open invitation. Not yet, at least. I'm still curious, though. But yeah, Demi Lovato, and if you listen to my show, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, on the intro, you heard Demi Lovato because she was on Steve-O's podcast back in March or April talking about this Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind documentary. So just by sheer dumb luck, like a day after I posted that show that I did on Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, Demi Lovato posted on her Instagram, her and Greer out there calling the aliens, calling the UFOs. Just out of dumb luck. Isn't that weird? Now, if you read her caption, she said, and her Instagram had it was like pictures of UFOs, right? Lights in the sky. Listen to what she says now. "Over the past couple months, I have dug deep into the science of consciousness and experienced not only peace and serenity like I've never known, but I also have witnessed the most incredibly profound sightings, both in the sky as well as feet away from me. The planet is on a very negative path towards destruction, but we can change that together. If we were to get 1% of the population to meditate and make contact, we would force our governments to acknowledge the truth about extraterrestrial life among us and change our destructive habits, destroying our planet." And then she plugged the app, right? She plugged the app, which, again, I'm too scared to try it. Then she said, "P.S., if it doesn't happen on the first try, keep trying. It took me several sessions to tap into a deep enough level of meditation to make contact. Happy communicating." And here's exactly what I've been saying, okay? Does Demi Lovato have the power of discernment? No, she doesn't. I mean, I don't know that. I don't know her. And not to mention, like, that's not, I bet, you know what, I bet Stephen Greer typed that caption up on her phone, because that's like his mantra. We just need 1% of, you know, meditate the aliens in, and blah, blah, blah. Because his whole fear is that the military-industrial complex, the national security state, they're the ones that are going to make contact first, and then they're going to try to say, hey, look, these aliens, they're a threat. They're a threat, and we need mega extra badass America weapons to fight this threat. Don't you want to be safe? Don't you love the illusion of safety? Give us your money. Give us your privacy. Let's keep you safe now. That's what Greer says, and I don't disagree with him. I think he's right. On some levels, he might be right. I don't know what to think. It's very strange what's going on in the world. But my whole beef with this whole thing is this is what I worry about. Stephen Greer is taking essentially some kind of, maybe Alan Greenfield's cipher of the UFO knots rituals, maybe Crowley's Amalantra workings, maybe the Enochian language that John Dee and Edward Kelly were using to contact the aliens. And he's just like, here, everyone, you try it. What could happen? Because the paths to God, to the divine, they use the same practice of prayer versus meditation, right? Same thing. It has a lot to do with intention. So it's possible that she is, trying to get in touch with the good angels, maybe, right? The good aliens. But how does she know? How could she do it? She would need the discernment of a monk, which I would assume she does not have. This is why the church warned us of this stuff. Prophetically in the Bible, it said don't do this stuff. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it said don't do this. How did it know? In fact, in the Bible, I think St. Paul said in the future, Demi Lovato is going to channel the aliens and it's going to bring the Antichrist and it's going to be a whole thing, and Pat Robertson's been right the whole time. My God. My God. What are we going to do? Miley Cyrus, she got in on the alien talk. Shout out the next Dr. B on Twitter. Quite the name there. If you go to interviewmagazine.com, if you go to Miley Cyrus's interview on Interview, she's interviewing a guy named Rick Owens. Who's that? He's a fashion guy. I'll read you the description from the article because I don't know who he is. Since launching his eponymous line in 1994, Rick Owens, one of the last great American independent designers, has broken from tradition by cultivating the unlikeliest persona, a black leather-clad Brancusi and Bays summoning brutalist-loving necromancer who is not only approachable but exuberant, a mad genius of sophisticated Area 51 inflected draping who calls his wife Michelle Lamy Hun, a dark lord next door. I don't know what any of that means. I think whoever wrote that intro bumped their head on the keyboard, or they smoked too much of the Joe Rogan DMT. I don't know what happened there. Curious terms, though. Necromancer, that's going to be talked about in Raised by Wolves and Area 51 and the Dark Lord. Now, Miley Cyrus, she says to him, she's talking to him about how he came to America, right? He's been on a trip in America, and she says, where did you stop during the trip? And Owen says, well, it was pretty quick. It was only like 3 days. We had to stop in Las Vegas. Then we stayed at a ranch in Nevada. We went to Area 51, and then we went to Los Angeles for 2 days, and I had my 57th birthday party there. Cyrus says, speaking of Area 51, do you believe in extraterrestrial beings? Owens, I don't really, but it seems a little arrogant to assume there's nobody else but us. Cyrus, that's what I fucking think. Owens, I haven't looked into it, have you? Cyrus, I had an experience, actually. I was driving through San Bernardino with my friend, and I got chased down by some sort of UFO. Do you like how I changed my Miley Cyrus voice halfway through my reinterpretation of the interview? I actually kind of like this. I'm going to stick with it. So she says, I was driving through San Bernardino with my friend, and I got chased down by some sort of UFO. I'm pretty sure about what I saw, but I'd also bought weed wax from a guy in a van in front of a taco shop, so it could have been the weed wax. But the best way to describe it is a flying snowplow. It had this big plow in the front, and it was glowing yellow. I did see it flying, and my friend saw it too. There were a couple of other cars on the road, and they also stopped to look, so I think what I saw was real. Well, I don't know what to say to that. I haven't seen shit. I was shaking for like 5 days. It fucked me up. It disturbed you? I couldn't really look at the sky the same. I thought they might come back. Well, there you go. So, Miley Cyrus, she's been pushing alien-themed imagery for many years. as I've detailed back in the blogging days of IlluminatiWatcher.com. This was back before she was dry humping Robin Thicke on stage, if you recall, the VMAs. Now, so what I'm saying is, like, it's a very common theme here. And you'll notice, you know, what Owen said. He's like, oh, I think it's pretty arrogant to think we'd be the only living beings out here. Okay, cool, Mr. Science. Because science is the new dogma of the world. Cool, Mr. Science and Neil deGrasse Tyson and all these scientist losers. Yeah, there's aliens everywhere. They're all over the place. There's so many. The universe is just full of them. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Who's the real scientist here? Who's the real scientist? A real scientist would say, maybe. I mean, there's lots of ideas that would support that, but there's no evidence whatsoever to support that. So science tells me, no, they don't exist. That's not what these people say, though. It's not what they say. It's a psyop. Neil deGrasse Tyson is not your friend. He's a psyop. I'm going to fight Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm going to fight him. What if I got my ass kicked? I would get my ass kicked. He's probably 2 feet taller than me. I'd try it, though. It'd be worth it. Now, if you stick around on the interviewmagazine.com website, you'll read an interview conducted by Marilyn Manson, honorary priest of the Church of Satan. But guess who he's interviewing? Your boy, Nick Cage. Yes, we love Nick Cage, right? They say he was an old friend. Shout out Emily. She hit me on the Instagram with this. Thank goodness, because boy, was this a fun read. This was a fun interview. And I pulled you some fun parts out of it in case you don't want to read it. Marilyn Manson. And I don't have fun. I'm not going to be able to. Well, I'll try. Let's give it a shot. This is just for good fun. We'll make some voices up. Here's Marilyn Manson. He says, the first time we met was nebulous because we had several encounters. One of the most memorable encounters was when you bought my first painting at my first art show. You are a collector of many different things, art being one of them. We've talked about the living and dead creatures you've accumulated throughout your fascination with the unknown and things that are of unexplainable origin. Do you collect things as trophies, or is it something you connect with your childhood? Cage.
Certainly not as trophies. It's a way to get things to crack, to open my imagination. It's been like that for a very long time. It happened just by watching episodes of Rod Serling's Night Gallery. I think those were the beginnings of me trying to understand larger-than-life performance, because many of the actors in those shows were acting in a way that was not necessarily natural, but terrifying. Sometimes, if I don't know how to play a part, I can refer to a Francis Bacon image, or I can read a bit of poetry, and it triggers something in my mind that creates a feeling so that I don't have to act. I think that's what art, for me, is really about. Animals, too. That's why I like to surround myself with reptiles and fish and cats. I just bought a crow. His name is Huginn, after the Norse god Odin's two ravens, Huginn and Munin, and he's amazing.
That's a terrible Nick Cage impersonation. That's the first time I ever tried it. Jay Dyer does a much better Nick Cage. I should have had him on just for this part. But, oh yeah, well, I lost myself in the humor of this. But yeah, he's talking about how he triggers the creative elements of the mind, and he calls out Francis Bacon, which is a huge player in the world of the occult. He's the one who wrote The New Atlantis and said America is going to be the New Atlantis and we need to resurrect the Osiris spirit into the president. It's pretty wild stuff, right? And, you know, we talked about Francis Bacon many times in the show in the past. I think he's appeared in almost every one of my books. Marilyn Manson said, is he a raven? Cage. No, he's an African pied crow. He says hi when I walk into the room and bye when I leave. The other morning, he started laughing and called me an asshole. Manson, you think he's genuinely speaking to you? Cage, I think he is. This is terrible. The worst Nick Cage impersonation ever. I promise I'll never do that again after this show. Because I've got more. Because they talk about alchemy. Very fitting, Francis Bacon into the alchemy too, right? Manson, I don't, they're talking about some other stuff. I don't remember that. I've touched far worse, because he's talking about how, I guess, there was a, God, who was it? And I'm trying to remember now. There was a skull or there was something, some dead body part. And Marilyn Manson, Nick Cage said he had to pick it up with a tissue. Marilyn Manson says, I don't remember that. I've touched far worse things, maybe on a daily basis when I use the bathroom. I know that you're very well read and very enthusiastic about alchemy and the origins of everything that exists in the world. Is numerology something that you think about? And do you have a magic number? Mine's 15, which is a curious number, right? 15 in numerology, in gematria, 1 + 5 = 6. 666, right? For, of course, Marilyn Manson. Cage. 7. It's kind of cliche, but the number has had power for me. If you want to walk down the road of the esoteric, what's always been powerful to me is something as simple as blowing out candles on a birthday cake. I really take those wishes seriously. It's almost like a meditation, and more often than not, those wishes have come true. So he picks the number 7, right? That's the God number. Because, you know, the Holy Trinity is the 777, and the number of man is 666, always below God. And then Nick Cage shares a really cool story. This is worth your price of admission, about how he took $200 into a casino and won $20,000. And then he gave it to an orphanage in the Bahamas or something like that. Pretty cool, right? What a guy. And then they revisit the occult. Manson. I find it hard to define addiction or obsession or something that consumes you like a ghost. You've talked a lot about magic and numbers and fate and coincidence and different elements of the esoteric or occult or whatever word people want to use to identify something that's unidentifiable. You've mentioned a shamanic element to approaching acting. Cage. What is magic but imagination combined with will to create effects in the natural world? Anything can be a work of magic. A great speech can be a work of magic. A scientific discovery can be a work of magic because it takes imagination to come up with a solution. And then Nick Cage, he talks about how he had a crush on Deborah Foreman, who was, while they were filming Valley Girl, that was the yuppie love interest, played opposite of Nick Cage in the film. If you've never seen Valley Girl, you're in for a real treat. I only, you know what? God bless COVID in some ways, right? Let's make lemonade out of lemons. COVID afforded me the opportunity to watch movies I hadn't seen before. Valley Girl, I'd never seen it. I love it. Great movie. One of the greatest. Dirty Dancing, never seen it. Because of COVID, I seen it. And I got to say, I liked it. I thought it was great. I thought, wow. All, you know, because I grew up in the 80s and all the girls loved it. And I, you know, just out of, ooh, no, it's stupid. No, it was great. Fantastic movie. Just like Valley Girl. And I'll leave a link in the show notes because that whole interview was actually really good. But now, what? Let's wrap it up. Let's depart with this idea here. Nick Cage is saying, he's using all these terms, and Marilyn Manson too, by the way. They're talking about the work of magic. They understand how this works. They're not, because I guarantee you talk about magic to 95% of the population, and they have no idea what you're talking about. They think you're talking about David Copperfield on the stage, which is curious because in the interview magazine, the spelling was incorrect for magic. Because magic, as you know, in the occult variety, it has a K, M-A-G-I-K or M-A-G-I-C-K. Put there by Aleister Crowley himself, K being the 11th number of the alphabet, the number of the new aeon. You already know all that. But they're talking about occult magic here. And they're talking about getting in touch with the creative elements. Nick Cage apparently uses some kind of Francis Bacon imagery to get in contact with the creative zones, which I talk about in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1, because that's what this is all about. It's all about the consciousness manifesting reality. And they want us to believe in the UFOs, to believe in the aliens, because that will help trigger the manifestation. So they can move this thing along, the New World Order, the global agenda. And the creative zone has been talked about by many great minds, Carl Jung, Kenneth Grant. They talked about the mauve zone and this dark side and the shadow. It's where creativity resides. So when Nick Cage says he does work to get into that place, I believe him. It's true. There's a part of us in our mind where things are a little different. You got to get past the conscious ego and go deeper into the subconscious. And in this place is where you can quantumly entangle with, you know, superposition and atoms and particles in another universe, parallel worlds, and all this crazy stuff. But that's what I talk about in the book. And that's what I think aliens and the phenomenon are. That's why you can't get a clear understanding of what it is. And that's why the people that are in the know on this are very vague and very weird about their description of what the phenomenon is. You'll notice that. No clear answers. Because you have to live in the quantum version of reality, the quantum model, to understand it. Because we currently live in the Newtonian physics, the classical physics, the world of matter. But that's all the updates for you. If you want to go deeper into that, some of that weird esoteric quantum consciousness talk and the alien agenda and why that's all happening, you know where to go. You get that book on Amazon. It should be up on Audible by October 23rd, in theory. We'll see. I narrated the whole thing and gave it to them 6 weeks ago. But because of COVID, there are delays in processing. So we'll see. It should show up. And then, of course, you can get the signed paperbacks, gumroad.com/IsaacW. I will put the links in the show notes for all of these great things. And now I'm going to go work on this Raised by Wolves analysis. And it's going to blow your mind, I assure you. No one's talking about the things that you're going to hear me talk about. No one. So stay subscribed to the show. And until next time, stay woke.